listening to Time Out for Sports with Joe Smith.
A weekly wrap of local, state, and national sports happenings all summer long.
On News Talk 96.1
and AM 1370 WGCL.
Now, here's your host, Indiana Sportscasters Hall of Famer, Joe Smith.
And welcome on board version title number two of a TOS Time Out for Sports on a Tuesday night. Big show in front of us with Vice President Director of Athletics Fred Glass along with us tonight. And we get right to things here. That first of all, welcome up to our little high atop One City Center. We always talk about it at Yogi's. We'll be back there in August. But Joey got married, and I know you were a proud papa, and everything go well this past weekend?
Everything went great, Joe. It's cool to be up here with all the action, though. It's this is like big-time radio.
Yeah, this is where it's at, my friend. Yeah.
Is Les Nessman here today?
No, he might pop in at any time. You know,
Excellent.
We've got it all here, Fred. Hey, I'll tell you what. Let's start, and, you know, we got to talk about the gift that Mark Cuban obviously gave us, alum, obviously, a man of high tech. I mean, just an investor, jack of all trades, and boy, it was nice to see what he did a couple of weeks ago. And you know, the success, I think, from his gift likely to be more reality than virtual. But that was a big wow.
Yeah, it really was. You know, that's the fruition of a long time relationship. Anthony Thompson was a big part of developing that, and it's just a lot of going down and listening, and the things that Mark was interested in, and what he might be able to do to help us. And wow, $5 million gift was terrific. And you know, his name is really synonymous with sports, with technology, with media, and to wrap all that into this center will be extraordinary, not only for our sports programs, Joe, and we can talk more about how we think it'll support those if you'd like, but also for our students on campus, because it's going to be a great collaboration with the new media school, and these kids are going to be taught this cutting-edge technology, and basically I think it'll be a full employment program, because they're going to be putting this virtual reality in, you know, NBA arenas, NFL stadiums, and our kids will be more trained on it and adept at it than anybody in the country.
You know, let's kind of, and for someone that's very non-high tech like the old man here, as you well know, as you have known me over the years, I do well to text, and then I misspell a lot. But putting things into perspective and trying to digest the scope of what all was done on that particular day and who it will affect, let's talk with start with the student athletes, and then we'll talk about our sports. Because, as you say, School of Journalism, you know, our radio TV school, you know, sports communication is so high. I mean, boy, that is just a big 10 strike for those kids.
Yeah, I think it really will be. And what really captured Mark's imagination was being able to take the technology that he's out in front on as an investor and just as a student of the genre, if you will, to be able to apply it in a college athletic situation, which hasn't been done anywhere in the country. Yeah. So there's three main components of what he's at least going to start out with, and then I think the sky's the limit in terms of the way the technology grows and changes. But the centerpiece, I think, will be the virtual reality, the Oculus Rift, where you put on the goggles, right, and all of a sudden you're walking the old Crescent campus or walking through the sample gates, and you hear the cars passing behind you going down Kirkwood, and you hear the dog bark, and you look over and you see it, and you look up and see the sky and all that stuff, or you're in the stadium or whatever. And so we're going to be able to and the applications for instruction or recruiting are endless. So think about Nate Suffeld. Instead of watching a tape or looking at you know, a chalkboard, he puts those glasses on, and all of a sudden the Michigan State blitz is coming, and he's trying to check off and figure out who to look at, and it's sort of like a real-time thing, and the coaches can actually monitor where his eyes went, so they know what he's looking at. Is he looking where he needs to be looking? Is he looking to see if the blitz is picked up? Is he going through his progressions right? And that replicates itself through all kinds of different sports, real-life situations in baseball or softball or so forth and so on, hitting the curve, you know, slowing it down so the guys can really get the feel for that. So instructionally, it'll be awesome. And then from a recruiting perspective, it'll be awesome. We can go out to you know, Syracuse, New York, and take a set of these goggles and be sitting with a kid in his living room, and all of a sudden he's walking the Crescent campus and walking through Shule Academic Center, and maybe he's running onto the court in Assembly Hall with his name being chanted by 17,000 people. You know, it's pretty good stuff. Or, you know, you get some smarty pants donor that says, you know, why can't so-and-so pick up the blitz, and say, okay, you put on these glasses and you be back in the backfield and you see if you can pick the blitz up. You know, I mean, we could just have a lot of fun with them. So I think that'll be terrific. So that virtual reality piece will be huge. Another piece is the 3D broadcast and replay technology. So you've probably seen, like, on ESPN where Jaws breaks down a play and you're looking at it from the backfield, and all of a sudden the camera goes, and you're looking down the line of scrimmage, and then you're looking bird's eye view and all that. Well, that's what we are going to be able to do. We're going to put about 30 cameras encircling both Memorial Stadium field and Assembly Hall court, and we can do that technology. So think about that. First of all, we are going to suddenly become a much better place from which to broadcast. ESPN's excited, Big Ten Network's excited. We'll pick up more games and better slots because they can include that in their broadcast, cabbaging on our technology. We'll put it up on the video screen so our fans will have a fantastic experience. Tom Crean can take a prospect down to the court with an iPad and say, and work him out, and then say, okay, you saw the play like this, but let me show you what that looks like from where the front court guy is, or where the wing is, or whatever. And they can monitor where their eyes are going to see if they're looking at things the right way. So that's going to be a really cool piece of the technology. And then we're going to have a virtual studio, which is like a big green room, but this will be great for coaches' shows, recruiting videos and so forth. So you've probably seen some of this on CNN where the guy's standing there and all of a sudden the bar graphs come up out of the ground, or the tornado starts, you know, rolling around the room. It's like flying cars kind of stuff. You know?
Has you excited?
I'm very excited about it.
Man, I tell you what, and well said and put together. We'll see a lot of it, obviously, visually, but audio-wise on radio, you pieced it together quite well, talking about the Mark Cuban Center, as Mark Cuban donating the $5 million to Mark Cuban Center for Sports Media and Technology. We'll talk a little about the implementation, and Fred was mentioning some of the enhancements through this whole technology bit with the monies coming in, and of course Simon Scott Assembly Hall will be, every day it changes, and only for the better. And we'll talk a little about the implementation, if it affects football fans coming in this fall, and lots more, about 15 past the hour. We're on Timeout for Sports, visiting with Vice President Director of Athletics Fred Glass, and we'll continue along. You're listening to TOS on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Welcome back, everyone. Jim Ritter, our producer, Fred Glass, our guest in segment one. A little bit later, we'll begin our coverage of the 5th Annual Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame, the induction coming up at the Convention Center on July the 10th, of Friday night. Kit Klingelhofer joining us along with Sandy Searcy, a couple of our board members, and also a new job for Sandy, who's been with the IHSAA, as you know, a former longtime coach here in the school system at Bow City High Schools, but she's been under the tutelage of a couple of different IHSA directors doing her thing, and she'll be leaving as an assistant to take a new job with the National High School Federation, which is based out of Indianapolis, and we'll be delving into that a little bit later. Reds on the radio tonight, 7 o'clock pregame from Comerica Park in Detroit. Let's hope for better than what we've been seeing lately, but the Reds going through a lot of injury problems, and basically have half of the Louisville bats in the Cincinnati lineup. So, and I got Mr. Red with me tonight, you know, Mr. Klingelhofer. Mm-hmm. We'll not talk Reds baseball, or we may. You never know. That's why this thing is so laid back. On the cutting edge, Mark Cuban, couldn't want a better guy doing so, because, you know, we haven't, you've talked in volumes and did it quite well in piecing together what is out there, but yet this is scary with what can be and what hopefully will be in future years for our students and our student athletes. This is outstanding.
Well, it'll be great, Joe, and you know, you're looking for ways to distinguish yourselves from your competition, and we will literally be the first collegiate athletic department in the country to have these technologies, and we'll stay hopefully ahead of the game in terms of their application and their development. So we're really excited about it, having able to associate the Mark Cuban name with it, I think, is a big plus, because he hasn't done a whole lot at Indiana University up till this point in that way. And I think this is something that he's excited about, and it's always best when you can have somebody involved in something that they're really taking a lot of ownership in. So I expect him to be back a lot, continuing to bring cutting-edge technologies to us. He's going to help us develop the curriculum. He's really all in with this, and that'll be the secret sauce for the Cuban Center.
You know, you were talking about some of the new enhancements, Fred, relevant to sports. When Simon Scott is completed, the refurbished Assembly Hall, Simon Scott Assembly Hall, but Memorial Stadium, will this have a chance to be implemented, a part of this whole system come fall?
We hope so. We should definitely have the 3D rebroadcast and replay system in Assembly Hall for the upcoming season, and I'm very hopeful that we'll have the system in for football this upcoming fall. Now, sometimes the procurement wheels grind slowly, at the university level, and we'll kind of see how that all works. But I'm very optimistic that we'll get that done, and that'd be a huge enhancement for the game day experience if we can get that done.
Who will be some of the chief people behind? I know Jeremy Gray, obviously he was on with Glass last week, taking out time from his vacation to take us through the early steps like you have tonight. Mm-hmm. But is Jeremy, and how big of a crew will it be to present this in first-class fashion?
Yeah, Jeremy is the linchpin of it. He's out in California as we speak, meeting with technology representatives, getting meetings that, frankly, the average people can't get, but we're getting them because Cuban set them up with senior people at Google and Facebook.
He's got a few
favors to call in. So that's been great. But it one of the cool parts of this, too, is it's going to be a real collaboration with campus. So one of the things as we went into this, is we found out more and more that there are pockets of virtual reality and related expertise on campus in the School of Informatics and telecommunications and TV radio and elsewhere. And so this will be a great opportunity for us to further one of our priorities, that is to be integrated with the university and make this a real collaborative effort.
Well, we're just looking forward to it, and I'm glad I've hung it out this long because, as I say, it's a whole new ball game, and I know you're excited about it. All Indiana University alums, supporters of all of our sports teams, and the student athletes and the students attending Indiana. I mean, this is so far ranging; it's unbelievable. Hey, it's been a kind of wrapping it up. I know you had lunch today over at Henke with the head coaches. Things going well there?
Yeah, it was great. We talked a lot about the Cuban Center. I encouraged them to get engaged and talk to Jeremy because, this technology is so, this era is so crazy. Like, I've got a TV and I don't know how to use about 95% of it. And if I did, I'd probably get a lot more of enjoyment than I do. And I told them this thing was virtual reality. They don't learn it at their peril. There's so much stuff to get out of it. And they were really, as you might imagine, really excited about the implications of it, both for developing and training their existing players and also the recruiting aspects and so forth. So we talked a lot about the Cuban Center. We also had a special guest, the new, I think he's called the executive director of the I Association. Sandy, help me, Brian Brozzi. For one of the, maybe the first time ever, we have a full-time...
A former prepster.
A former prepster and a current I-man, a former captain of the track team.
Yeah.
With Coach Bell, I think he's the first ever full-time staff person for the I Association. Of course, Carl Zacher did a fabulous job for many, many years, and Mike Mann did a great job after that. But those guys had other responsibilities that made it that they couldn't give the full attention to the I Association. And so, in collaboration with the Alumni Association, the athletic department has supported the hiring of a full-time executive director or whatever he's called, and he's off to a great start and working on furthering the events and membership and exposure and of the I Association, and met with the coaches today to talk about improving reunions, get-togethers, databases, and so forth. And so I'm very optimistic that that the future of the Eye Association is very bright.
Brian, of course, went to Brebeuf Jesuit and was former athletic director for a number of years, in addition to being, I forget what class. Of course, I was the first one, and you were what?
He was 70, my classmate, 77.
77.
As was, it's kind of the classmate theme, because Mark Cuban was my classmate here at IU as well, class of 81.
Class of 81, mm-hmm. Indeed. Hey, football will be here before you know it. It's hard to believe it's already the middle of June, but we're going to kick off things with Southern Illinois, and you're expecting big things. I'm excited coming out of the spring, and there's five games that have been announced, with the Florida International game going to be a night game. But talk a little about, you know, the start of the gridiron season, Kevin Wilson's fifth year.
Yeah, a really good feeling around the team. I think our guys are bigger, faster, stronger, and that's not just puffery from the AD. I mean, if you talk about, you know, times and bench presses and recruiting services and so forth, I think we've got a really, really great team. It was great that we were able to keep the coaching staff intact, and so I've got a really good feel for where the team's going, and then I'm excited about our schedule too.
Yeah.
As you alluded, we've got a night game, which I know is sometimes challenging for some of our folks from further away, but I think it's a nice thing for people more in our vicinity that can get things done during the day and then go to the game and not have too long a way to go back home. And then we've got two of our non-conference games are set for 4 o'clock, and I like the little bit of the later kick. Myself, you can get some things done. You can tailgate for a while, and then it's at 4 instead of noon. Then, of course, for our students, you know, noon might as well be like 7 a.m.
No,
so
that
helps with them
change.
As well.
That's one thing we can always count on. So
I like our non-conference schedule. Yeah. I think it lines up pretty well timing-wise, opponent-wise. And, you know, if we catch a couple breaks here and there, who knows, maybe we're going into our Big Ten opener against national champion Ohio State with a battle of the unbeaten.
I remember being – it being built, and now it's, you know, I know what's ahead, so it's not a somber thing when I go down 17th Street to see now we're 3 months into the full construction and update and things. You know, they haven't had a lot of delays because of the weather, so they're getting some doggone things. It's just funny to see that the facade the way it is right now out there.
Yeah, it looks weird without that portico or whatever. It looks like somebody was out there nose on their face or something. But the new front door facing campus, I think, will really be a very welcoming, powerful addition to Assembly Hall. And then, as you know, almost all the development, redevelopment, renovation is centered on improving the fan experience and then extending the viability and the life of the building. So we're doing all the boring stuff like the mechanical and the electrical and the plumbing and the HVAC to help preserve the best home court in college basketball for another couple generations, but also some fun stuff like you know, more bathrooms, cleaning up those nasty bathrooms that are already in there, improving the concession stands, recovering all the seats, new Jumbotron, new branding. I think our fans will really like it. I think we're preserving the best things that make that an iconic venue and home court advantage, but then improving some of the fan amenities that'll make people enjoy the experience even more.
Well, I'll let you, since we were touching on the high tech in the Cuban Center for sports media and technology, and Mark Cuban being gracious as the class of 81 with his $5 million investment to the future of all students and student athletes. Time for our FG department in the spotlight, and also our employee of the spotlight for June.
Well, it's for all those reasons, it's very appropriate that be our computer services or our information technology group. Is funny, when I was talking to Mark and we talked about announcing it, he said, you know, I'd like to announce this in conjunction with a hackathon. I kind of looked at him and he goes, you don't know what a hackathon is, do you? And I go, I said, you know, I was in politics, so I had plenty of hacks, but I don't know what a hackathon is. And so a hackathon's apparently where you get all these people come in and you have a problem. And the problem here was there's an IU recruit, the best basketball player in the country. They can't get to IU, bring IU to them. And then these teams come in and they do all the virtual reality and the video multimedia productions.
Right.
And there's a contest and they win, you know, a floppy disk or something. It's not really about what they win, but they just like to be the champs. So luckily I had people in the information technology department that speak technology in a way that I just don't. And they were awesome through this whole thing. Dan Fitzsimmons leads that department. Cindy Grubb, Brian Hulley, Matthew Colbert are all members of that department. I could make any of them the employee of the spotlight, but the unsung hero for this whole Cuban announcement was Brian Hulley. He organized the hackathon, which turned out to be a masterstroke by Mark Cuban in terms of a good way to roll this out.
Mm-hmm.
Worked with the people over the Advanced Visualization Laboratory, the School of Informatics, start getting this virtual reality thing rocking and rolling. And so, anyway, he's in California now with Jeremy Gray and the other people, meeting with the Facebook people and Disney and Stanford and GoPro, you know, the little cameras people wear on their heads when they're like skateboarding and stuff, you know, and that's going to be pretty cool virtual reality. So anyway, Brian Hulley is my man. He's the employee in the spotlight from the Department of Information Technology.
Lots going on, and Brian, an outstanding young man. I say young man, everybody's young to me, but anyway, getting the job done with so many of those people that you just pointed out, and boy, as I say, it's just going to be something else. You know, we would be remiss before I let you go to talk again. You know, not only does Steve Peterson guide us into the second consecutive NCAA Rowing Championships out on Eagle Creek back in May, his staff again, the CRCA region staff of the year, 2 years running. But how's the boat? They're building a new boathouse out on Lake Lemon, aren't they?
We are. We're building a new boathouse on Lake Lemon. It's going to be really top-notch. The one out there was really an embarrassment. And so we're going to have a nice building, help take care of those boats and be a little bit of an epicenter for the rowing team. We've also added a really nice locker room and team center in Assembly Hall for the rowers. They really hadn't had a home away from home other than their lockers out on Lake Lemon. So we've been making some investments in our rowing program, and Steve has done a great job. As you mentioned, back-to-back top 11 finishes in the country, and a few years ago that was unimaginable. I mean, we were barely holding up the back end of the Big Ten, and now we're beating power teams all across the country, and we're a force to be reckoned with. And Steve's just done a great job with these young women, and I'm glad his staff's getting the recognition that it deserves.
You know, and the baseball team, going, as far as they did. And Chris Lemonis coming in when he did, just about, was that a July hire that you made?
It was the summer hire, yeah.
Last summer, and getting the job done, and six guys were drafted off of
right.
the baseball
yeah.
team. So
yeah.
Some coming back, some going elsewhere, but NCAA for a third straight year, that's, you know,
yeah.
it's just...
I think it's hard to overstate how yeah. challenging it is to come in and kind of keep that momentum rolling,
yeah.
especially when you lose
yeah.
the guys that we lost. I think it was a sensational coaching job, and especially when, you know, we had some choppy water in the middle of the Big Ten season. A lot of guys might have packed it in, you know, especially guys that maybe had other aspirations. But this team held together and put an incredible winning streak together, and, you know, get an at-large bid. You know, you'd like to get the automatic bid, of course, by being the Big Ten tournament champion, but an at-large bid has a certain cachet on its own, right? Because mm-hmm. you get picked because of your reputation and what you've accomplished, independent
exactly.
of them having to take you. So, anyway, thought Chris did a great job. The guys did a great job, and I think the future there with the baseball team is bright.
A lot of summer camps going on between now and the middle part or the end of June out at Indiana U, and a couple of special young student-athletes that we've talked about many times, Fred, going behind the scenes, and whether it's Yogis or whether it's here at One City Center, our athletes of the year kind of ending things here tonight. But, boy, all that Tevin Coleman gave us and Jessica Parado. Tevin's future is there, and we're just glad to have Jessica around about three more years
yeah.
off that diving board.
Yeah, exactly right. When you've got a freshman, you know, to win that award, that's pretty extraordinary. And, of course, I think Tevin's just going to keep making himself and yeah. Indiana University more famous.
105 spring athletes, academic All Big Ten. That just you know, I can remember, and it's been steadily growing,
mm-hmm.
and it gets tougher anymore. The demands on the student athlete, the spring sports in particular, with the scheduling, games could be played any day of the week. But now 105 in triple digits, outstanding. Huh?
Yeah, and it is reassuring and gratifying that number has climbed, and I think that's reflective of the investments that we've made in the Shul Center and academic advisors and tutoring budget. That's all gone up now. You know, the kids deliver the mail, so they get it done, and I think our coaches are attracting and retaining fabulous young people.
No question about it, and, you know, mentioning that, Indiana holding its own with the Big Ten, and a couple of our kids, Will Nolden, mentioning baseball, and Rebecca Dreher, who played soccer, were Indiana's Big Ten postgraduate scholarship recipients for good measure. And Meredith Dickensheets, first team All-America. Alice Wright, second team, kind of put in the cap for rowing. So it's been a great
good
year.
Across the, yeah, good
it's
across
been,
the
it's
board.
Been good 2015, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, I know you're going to take some well-deserved time off, but we'll catch up with you in July.
Excellent. Look forward to it.
Continue to go behind the scenes. Maybe I'll try to enrich my mind, if it's allowable, to become a little bit more high-tech so I can get on the same plane you are, man. I'm impressed with all this lingo you passed along tonight.
That's not a big leap for you, man.
I'm
close to you. But hey. I do like being here at the City Center because you got rocked out a little Pulp Fiction coming in.
Well.
That was good. You know, we get like some, you know,
hey, for
I don't
you,
yogis.
Man, anything's possible. Okay. Just say it. Just say it. This home's always yours, brother. Hey, we'll see you in July.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
Take care of yourself.
Thanks for having me.
Right now, about 25 before the top of the hour of 7 o'clock, Reds in Comerica Park tonight. Game 2, it's a home and home. After tonight, back to the Great American Ballpark on Wednesday and Thursday, and then Miami moves into the GABP. But that being said, and we've talked about student-athletes and what have you, this county has been able to produce a share. And when it's all said and done, after the fifth induction of the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame, we'll have numbered 55 members enshrined into our hall. We'll talk to a couple of board members, Kate Klingelhofer and Sandy Searcy. When we come back, you're listening to TOS, Time Out for Sports on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Welcome back, everybody, as we welcome you as we continue along. It's a Tuesday. It's the 16th day of June right now, about 21 before the top of the hour. By the way, Joe Weiler, a spectacular roundup at Prairie View, only one of a handful of golfers to shoot a sub-par round today. He shot a 71 to lead Bloomington South to a seventh place standing in the 79th annual State High School Golf Championships. Tough course up there. And what a year it's been for Bloomington South High School. Joe will be joining me on one of our reports tomorrow. And, of course, at the tail end of the week, we have the U.S. Open at Chambers Bay. That course is a story all in itself. And so has been the transition, the movement of the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame. Sandy Searcy joining us along with Kit Klingelhofer. And, guys, thanks for taking time out. It is the midsummer point coming up in July. But, Sandy, how it has grown when we were through Friday with this new class of 10, 55. It's really kind of tough to, see it all evolve the way it has. Just outstanding.
Well, it's amazing. Right after the bank, we take about a month off. And then on or about August or September, this committee starts meeting and discussing. And we spend quite amount of time vetting and selecting the class. I'd say along the lines of 8 months or so that we're actually debating. And the conversation is spirited. We meet once a month, and it's a really interesting process, but I think we have a wonderful group of prospects here.
And you know, Kit, you've joined us now for a couple of years in the retirement after serving over four decades as the Sports Information Director of Indiana University. You've seen a lot of quality student-athletes go through. We just mentioned two of them that have been involved in the IU Athletics Hall of Fame, or rather, not then. They'll be there probably soon. You know, a few years. Jessica Parado and Tevin Coleman, the athletes of the year. But there's been great flavor down through the years, Kit, including the kids that have grown up here that have gone on to become outstanding student athletes at Indiana and beyond.
Well, there's no question about that, Joe. And it's this is my third year on the committee, and I've really enjoyed this. And you know, one of the things that that strikes me is, having served on the Hall of Fame committee at IU all these years, what we're doing here is in Monroe County, and you know, I've been a part of this community for a long time, and I've known there's been great coaches and great athletes, but the depth of them, because I was so involved with IU, I pay attention, obviously knows what goes on in the local scene, but boy, the depth of athletes and coaches that have come through this county is absolutely spectacular. And you know, it's not just one sport, it's virtually every single sport. And when you look across the board at how many different sports are represented in this Hall of Fame class through the first 4 years and including this fifth year, it's really remarkable to me.
Well, and as you mentioned, and you were one of the forerunners that helped get the IU Athletics Hall of Fame rolling and where it is now. And talk a little about the similarities that you've seen, even in your brief stay now as a board member with the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame.
Well, you know, one of the things that we always talked about at the IU Hall of Fame is it's not for the very good. It's not for the best. It's for the absolute very best. And I think that's the approach that I see on this board as we look at our inductees each year. It's not for the very, very good. It's for the very, very best that have participated in this county or coached in this county or have been a contributor in this county or have been a humanitarian in this county. And it's fun to be part of that process. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the best thing that happens every year from my perspective is we have a hard time picking out class of 10 because there are so many deserving candidates.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what it was like picking the first 15, quite honestly. And, you know, but even in the 3 years I've been involved, getting 10 people when you could really pick 50 and feel good about any of those 50 or more than that, you know, and that when Sandy said we have some spirited debates, we do have some spirited debates because obviously there's going to be varying opinions. But I think the thing I'm most proud of in serving in this board is that I think we try to get the very best of the very best every single year.
Tickets are $40, and to reserve your seats, we have a great website. It's www.mcshof.com, and do that by July the 6th. The reception will be at 6 o'clock. And Sandy, something that we started a few years ago, the meet and greet has been very, very popular, and that will start at 5 o'clock.
Absolutely. We start communicating with our inductees to make certain that they're there and so that they can interact with the community. Perhaps not everyone has the opportunity to attend the banquet, so they come to the meet and greet. It is open to the community. They can go and speak with the inductees, get their autographs. It's been very, very popular.
You know, Sandy, I want to talk to you about other Hall of Fame boards that you have served on down through your outstanding professional career, a long time associated with high school athletics, and we'll get into that in just a second on just how you have seen, since day one, being on our board of the MCSHOF, how it measures up and what makes, you know, our hall, and we're all very proud of what has happened since 2011. What makes it so special?
First of all, I think it's the committee members. They're all very passionate about making certain that the right people are recognized, the people who are deserving of the award. So as I said, with the spirited conversation, we are all very passionate, and we do conduct a lot of research and vetting and that kind of thing. The second thing that I think is special is our scholarship initiative, mm-hmm. and we recognize the male and female athlete from Bloomington South, Bloomington North, and Edgewood with some scholarship money, but also I think it's important to bring the youth back to a historical banquet where we talk about the accomplishments of those that have come before them. I think it makes an impact on those student athletes and the parents, and it's something that's unique to all of the Hall of Fames. Are all of Hall of Fame committees that I've served on.
Sandy Searcy, Kit Klingelhofer, a couple of board members on our Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame as we kick off our coverage, and we'll do this with a member of the board and his or her duties leading up to the induction, and we'll have President Lynn Hauser on in that first show of the week, what we call Game Week, which will be, I believe, July the 7th ahead of the induction on Friday, July the 10th at the Bloomington Monroe County Convention Center. You know, we were talking a second ago about Sandy was the student athletes and our scholarship winners, and I would be remiss if I did not announce those representing Bloomington North, Ian Bailey and Brooke Collins. Also out at Edgewood, Mariela De Los Santos and Hank Phillips. And for the first time ever, we have a threesome representing Bloomington South High School, and only rightfully so, because between the three of them, they walked off with four state championships individually. And we're talking about Ian Finnerty, who's on his way to swim for Ray Luz at Indiana. Deacon Voles, the two-time back-to-back pole vault champion, going to Virginia Tech. Kit, and Denise Askwe has just put a cap on an unbelievable two-year stranglehold on the state singles. And, well, that just enhances things when we not only break down who we're going to enshrine, but who we will talk about in one day. Long before, after we're gone, these kids have an opportunity as well.
There's no question about that, Joe. It's been a great athletic year in this county, particularly at Bloomington South. I mean, I think you have to really recognize what they've done just in the last two or three weeks is pretty phenomenal. And, you know, so there's going to be a lot of deserving candidates that have graduated in the last two, three, four or five years from all three county schools that, like you said, Joe, we're going to be talking about in future years. Now, maybe we're not going to be around to do it, but a lot of others are going to be around to do it.
I hope. But, you know, Sandy, we were talking, and you were a little about the we have our own little team. But within the team, each garners his or her responsibilities, but we all kind of roll up our sleeves. And as Kit mentioned early on, we get right to work not long after the induction. We start to pan out who's ahead for 2016, but there's so many people that are involved in the whole process.
Well, and you're right, Joe. I think my contribution is the affiliation with the Indiana High School Athletic Association and the archives associated with that. I just wanted to say that Deacon and Denise both won the coveted Mental Attitude Award this year. That's a highly, highly sought after, revered award. And that in and of itself is just an amazing feat. Two student athletes from the same high school in the same season. That's incredible. But I'm able to put my hands on the photos and the articles from the IHSA. But you're right, everybody serves a role. And Lynn obviously comes from the Herald Times, and as does or did Bob Hamill, and Kit came from the Indiana University world. And so everybody really has something to add. In fact, they were handpicked to serve on this committee so that we could have the most information available to us when we select the inductees.
And, you know, Kit, we were talking about some of the kids. We just mentioned some of the high school kids, and now the former high school kids that have gone on to college and gone on to the professional world, if you will, that have had IU connections. And just looking at this class, Bill Armstrong Jr. and Kevin King.
Well, you could probably make a case, Joe, that Bill Armstrong Jr. may have been the first, certainly if not the first, one of the first very elite three sports stars in Bloomington in 19. Mm-hmm. Starting in the late 1960s and going up to early 1970s. I mean, when you talk about a kid who made All-State in two sports and was a champion and a third in swimming, won a backstroke championship as a junior in swimming, and then was All-State in football. He was All-State in baseball. Came to IU and played both lettered 3 years in football and baseball both. Again, he had to be one of the first really elite three-sport athletes in Bloomington. And again, you're talking about, as Sandy just mentioned, both with Kevin and with Bill, Mental Attitude Award winners. I mean, there's never been a higher honor, no matter what sport we're talking about in the IHSAA.
9 years apart, and both, as Kit mentioned, three sports standouts. Kevin, 9 years later in football, wrestling, and track. And, you know, you and I were on the airways with Indiana baseball when his dad, you know,
sure
Army,
were.
Sent us over to do the Illinois. We did the IU baseball games here on this radio station, and Bill was an outstanding baseball player.
It was just last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, it just was. Just last week or two, over in Shambana. It's just going to be a great night, and we've just touched some of the surface. But I did want to mention, too, and Sandy, we mentioned we had our board meeting, and Lynn Hauser brought it up, and we're so happy. We're sad in the fact that, you know, you're leaving the IHSAA for all the great years of purpose that you've had for a decade plus. But certainly, I know you're excited come August 1 to join the National Federation staff on the executive board. Talk a little about the appointment.
Well, the decision to leave the IHSA was definitely bittersweet, and it was unexpected. It was not a planned situation. It was a sports director position created at the National Federation, but when that opportunity calls, you have to go for it. And I feel like I've been preparing for that position for the last 16 years. The sport responsibilities include swimming and diving. Go figure. I've been in swimming and diving for the last 32 years, and water polo and softball. And I actually coached water polo for a time, and softball was one of my sports at the IHSAA. Two of the other responsibilities are planning the national conferences with the state association folks and the athletic directors across the country. So I've been preparing for this for the last 16 years. I'm really looking forward to the new challenge, but I'm very sad to leave the IHSA family.
You know, the neat thing, and you prepped up at Elkhart Central, but, you know, you were still coaching high school while you were, a student, and talking about going back, not dating you, but I can remember your tenure with the Bloomington South boys in the early 80s, and then the girls at North, and then the boys for, a good part of a decade.
Absolutely. I was a swim coach for 15 years and the athletic director for 10. And it was difficult leaving the high school ranks at that time to go to the IHSAA. I thought my life was over since I could no longer coach and teach. I was a physical education teacher. And you know what? It turned out just fine. And this is a new chapter, and I'm sure it'll be just fine. And I get to have the opportunity to make a difference at the national level. So that's what's
good. And serving as a girls' director of athletics during that great year that Kit knows well, because his daughter was a cheerleader on that 1997 state high school basketball championship team. And I still have your picture out with all the kids' photo in my little cubby hole outside the studio here. And Kit, we had our picture taken with Queth, but that was a great year in itself. You were talking about Bloomington South, but Bloomington North is certainly at its heyday, and one of the heyday makers is going into the hall is Sean May.
Absolutely.
Now, Sean, I mean, to talk about a great career, I mean, Indiana Mr. Basketball goes to North Carolina, and, it's interesting. I just read this again last night, and his last game there against Duke, his last collegiate game, he has 26 points and 24 rebounds, and then of course, he was led their team in national championship as the most outstanding player in the Final Four. And it doesn't get better than that.
No.
Be Mr. Basketball in Indiana, and then you go win a national championship or name the outstanding player in the Final Four. I mean, just a great honor for Sean. And he is going to be one of our youngest inductees. I think he's 31, mm-hmm. and I don't know we've had one younger.
We put Rex Grossman in. I think Rex was comparable age. Comparable age to that. But,
yep.
You know, we're talking about Bloomington North, the great Charlie Worthen, who's in a few halls already, will be going in. And Betsy Cousins, Mulder, as she is known now, a doctor. And Betsy was an excellent gymnast. We all, people in Bloomington, regardless of color of school, remember Tom Doc Petrie. And also Bob Hamill, George Shively, and what a great story that was earlier this spring. John Holmes from out Ellettsville Way, also going in with the late Sheldon Kinzer of auto racing fame, who attended Bloomington High School and put us on the map there. You know, before we leave, Sandy, what should people know now as we get geared toward the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame? We got a great website, and again, you might want to run down the tail of the tape on the 10th.
Well, we'll have the meet and greet at 5, and then we'll have a reception time where the inductees can socialize amongst each other. We take some photos and that kind of thing. One of the neat things that it happens at the banquet is we have a gem of a committee member in John Baker, and he's gathered memorabilia from all over this state, but mostly in the local area, even from high schools that are no longer in existence. But we gather memorabilia from our inductees and lay everything out, anything from photographs to programs to letter jackets to trophies and medals. It's really interesting. So we use that reception time for the people that are attending the banquet to go through, relive some memories, and after that reception, we have the dinner, and then the speeches start. And boy, are they a lot of fun. You hear a lot of history.
They vary.
They absolutely vary. Each one has a special tale to tell. We tell the inductees, or ask the inductees, to tell a special story, not just along with saying the thank yous. They tell their stories, and it's really incredible for the student athletes that are in attendance to hear and see the actual history that happened 20, 30, 40 years ago.
No question about it. Kit, we thank you for dropping in. I know we got to get out and listen to our the Reds at Comerica coming up. First pitch at 7:10 tonight. But thanks, and all you've done in your tenure, not only as an outstanding and one of the best in the country as sports information directors at Indiana University. Sandy, it was about a year ago in July where you received that citation from the National Federation of State High School Associations, and that goes to the most highly regarded achievements in national high school sports and what they think of you, and it's IHSA's loss. You're still our gain. You're still going to be on the board, but we wish you the very best starting August 1st.
Thank you, Joe.
Tell Dina said hey.
I will.
All righty. Sandy Searcy joining us. We'll be back to close things out. You're listening to TOS, Time Out for Sports on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Welcome back as we close out things on a TOS number two for the summertime here in B-Town. A little before the top of the hour, Reds pregame with Marty Brenneman will be on the air before you know it. Again, Joe Weiler of 71 today, Bloomington South 7th in the State High School Golf. Don't forget, in the zone, Dave and Glass, your phone calls tomorrow night at 6. By the way, our employee of the week at the barbecue train is Dakota Harmon, who, by the way, is celebrating his 15th birthday. Congratulations. And to all of our sponsors tonight and all summer long, the barbecue train at the corner of 10th and Smith, along with Royal South Toyota and the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame. And David Hayes, comprehensive financial consultants. Well, until next Tuesday night, for our producer, Jim Ritter, Joe Smith, Reds are next, coming up from Comerica Park in Detroit. Good night, everyone.
4 hours a day, 365 days a year. And if you need it sooner, you can pick it up in as little as an hour. Get your business back in hot water with A.O. Smith Commercial Water Heaters by calling 877-94-HOT-H2O. Win Nelson, Windustrial, and Win Supply. They're pros like you.
Reds fans, cheer on your